Paul Ramo over here at Appleton Area Health and with Dr. Michael Bess. And Dr. Bess, thanks for sitting down with me today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yes, we've had you on before, but me and you have just met now. So
this is it.
Yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about yourself, Dr. Bess.
Oh, my. I've been practicing surgery for close to 40 years now, and this is kind of the end of my career. I spent much of my life doing cancer surgery in Sioux Falls, and I spent some time at Mayo prior to that. And then spent some time at the University of Missouri after I retired the first time.
So
this is just back kind of to my native roots. I'm a very small town guy, you know, grew up in a very town almost like Appleton or,
okay.
You know, these surrounding small towns out here on the prairie, a farm kid. And so I can relate very well to these folks and what their daily lives are like.
Good. So you got other interests, hobbies or anything, or family? Or
my wife and I enjoy camping quite a bit.
Oh.
So in the summertime, we spend a lot of time just traveling around the United States. We're not very big fans of traveling overseas or anything like that, but we really enjoy getting around the states, and seeing national parks and things like that.
Tent camping or camper camping?
It's a little camper camping.
Okay.
Yeah, we do camper.
My wife don't want to do tent camping anymore. So
yeah, well, you know.
Getting old for that.
Sometimes the idea of roughing it is black and white TV, you know.
Yeah. All right, great. What's the subject that we're going to talk about today?
Well, one of the things that has been really a hot topic lately has been all the advances in cancer therapy. I was quite interested in that because of my past devotion and heavy involvement in treating people with cancer. And so I really stay quite interested in that. And there's really some fascinating advances that have come along. And a lot of that is based on the fact that we all have this thing called an immune system, which protects us. And it's kind of in the background. We don't know it's there. But if it's missing, we have lots of problems. But as long as it's working, it kind of keeps us in balance. And it attacks foreign invaders, usually bacteria that gets in our bodies, or damaged cells, or in fact, it attacks tumor cells and cancer cells, malignant cells. And probably what happens is that we all get cancers of a microscopic, tiny variety from time to time, and then we have a portion of our immune system that gets notified, and we go in and clean those up. And so really the defect we're thinking more and more in people that get cancer does not have to do with a particular organ, but it has to do so much with a defect in this repairer gene, which then is not going in and not cleaning things up. And so our thrust should be toward somehow doing genetic engineering to get that repair gene to work better. And this has kind of led us back then to this whole thing about our immune systems, because that's part of our immune system, is that repair gene. And so this has led then to the development and the research that has identified what's called PD-L1 proteins on many cancer cells that then give off a certain signal that then hides the cancer from our immune system. So basically it blindfolds our immune system. So the fascinating thing is the researchers have said, well, what if we could keep that tumor from blindfolding our immune system and therefore it could be turned loose to attack the cancer? And so these have become known as PD-1 or PD-L1 inhibitors, and there's about a half a dozen companies now, pharmaceutical companies around the world, that are heavy into the research on this. And we now have a whole line of drugs that can actually do that. And it's very fascinating. The poster child for all of this is former President Jimmy Carter. Former President Jimmy Carter has widespread malignant melanoma throughout his entire body, even in his brain. But it has been analyzed and found to respond to these PD-L1 inhibitors. And so he's being treated with actually the first one, which is a drug called Keytruda. And he is perfectly in check. The tumor's not, as far near as I can understand, I have nothing to do with his care, of course. Mm-hmm. But as near as I can understand, the tumor is not regressing, but on the other hand, it's not advancing. And of course, you say, well, but aren't we after a cure? Yeah, but we got to start somewhere, you know. So this is a big breakthrough. And I, you know, anybody who's been through chemotherapy, or if you've known anybody who's been through chemotherapy, that is rough.
Yep.
You know, and there's a basic tenet in medicine that the cure can't be worse than the disease. And by golly, with some of the chemotherapies, the cure is almost worse than the disease. And actually, some of the side effects are so severe that sometimes people die from the side effects. And so, gosh, I look forward so much to the day when we can say, well, gee, I remember back when we used this awful stuff called chemotherapy, and I'm glad we don't use it anymore, because now we have things that will unleash our own immune system. And it's really fascinating. I guess as you get older, you tend to look more backwards at history and that kind of thing. And the original hints about this go clear back to ancient times, when tumors would grow in people. And of course, they didn't know if they were benign or malignant. They didn't even, those phrases weren't even available. All you knew was that the person was getting some kind of a mass effect. And the old practitioners, I almost called them witch doctors, but anyway, they would try first one thing and then another. And the one thing they would try would be giving the patient an infection. And what happened was that in certain patients that were given certain infections, then their tumor would regress.
Whoa.
Now, isn't that interesting? Because in retrospect, what they were doing was they were stimulating that person's immune system. And that's probably what was happening. And that stimulated immune system then attacked that tumor. Mm. And so now we say, well, gosh, this is all new. Well, maybe it's not so new.
Right.
maybe it's just building on what we had in the past. And so it has developed and developed and developed over time. And I can't wait for the next step.
Right.
The next step, I think, will be one of these drugs. And people say, well, we've got six companies working on this, and isn't that a waste of money because research is so expensive? Listen, right now, a year's worth of treatment by Keytruda costs $150,000.
Mm.
So let me tell you, the more those six companies fight with each other,
right,
guess what? It's going to get cheaper.
Yep.
So I hear what they're saying about, gee, it's expensive to have all these companies competing, but on the other hand, I think the patient wins, and I think the patient needs more wins,
right,
and especially in our system in this country where cost is really almost an out-of-control factor. So I think this is one of the cutting-edge things. I've certainly done a lot of surgery for cancer patients over the years, but I'm excited about this.
Yeah, that is exciting, very interesting. So what you're saying basically is all of us have maybe some kind of cancer, but our immune system fights it and eliminates it, right?
As far as we know at this point, that's the conventional wisdom, is that we all get little tiny cancers from time to time. Now, let me tell you, that is also the argument then for detecting little tiny cancers. For example, we now have mammography that is so good that we can detect cancers that are little tiny guys.
Wow.
Now, maybe we shouldn't be, because maybe those were things that were going to be wiped out anyway.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we're getting the cart before the horse if we just watch. But listen, you're not going to talk a bunch of patients into saying, well, let's see what happens if we watch your cancer. That's not going to happen. I mean, nobody's going to stand up and say, I'll volunteer for that study.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
Yep.
But I have a feeling that without those studies that are so accurate, that's probably what happens from time to time. And that's why when you look at countries that don't use mammography, we're the only country in the U.S. that uses mammography in the intensity that we do.
Yep.
Canada and Denmark are the other two that we always look at, and they don't use it as intensely as we do, but the survival from breast cancer is the same in the U.S. and Canada and Denmark.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Interesting subject for sure. So thanks for enlightening us on this.
Thanks
subject.
For having me.
Yeah, you bet. How do you like working at Applin Area Health?
I think it's great. I think this is just, you know, I always tell people I now have the perfect job, because I'm able to practice surgery with people that I really can relate to and on a very basic level, and what it turns out is that 95% of surgery is just that. It's that very basic level.
Yep, right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Michael Bess with Applin Area Health.